Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Warning, this podcast may contain bad language and content that some listeners may find offensive.
Well done. I mean, the big pause there that you'll cut out.
Yep, it'll look better in edit.
It will look better in edit. Like I do. Photoshop the fuck out of me.
There's no fixing that.
Welcome to the Seesaw Podcast with T and Cleese.
Each week, offering up a blurred perspective on life.
Welcome to a new episode of the Seesaw, featuring the Bad Boys of Disabled Podcast, which we've
established. Sounds more terrible every time you say it.
I know it does. I don't know why I keep saying it, because it's just something we pitched at the pub as a fucking joke, and now I've just brought it back into the in the canon of the show, along with Bilton. I wonder what he's doing.
Selling ice cream and drugs.
Or dead.
Both.
Equally possible. Well, it can't be both.
He's selling ice cream and drugs in heaven now.
To Jesus.
Yep.
Who does both those things? Anyway, moving on. So, this week we have Alice Evans from the Labelled podcast.
Alice?
We're not doing this joke.
Okay.
We're just not doing it. I know where you were going with it. So, Alice is a member of the visually impaired community, and this is a part 2, because that's all we do now, is part 2s of things. But this is about getting married when you're a member of the blind or visually impaired community, but from the Brad side. So, today we have Alice Evans, another podcaster from the VIP community.
Hi, everyone. My name is Alice, as T said, and I am the co-host of the Label podcast, which is a podcast about disability, illness and health difference. By day, I work in social care, and it's hard and stressful. But I now have 2 lovely dogs to help me get through my day. So
one on each arm.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to be doing the other side of the coin. Frequent listeners will remember when we did the Nice Day for a Blind Wedding episode, where I went over all the trials and tribulations of a groom who has a visual impairment on their wedding day. Of course, at that time, I was very clear in saying that I pretty much had nothing to do with the planning of the wedding. That's not so much a blindness thing, more than the fact that I'm a lazy swine and my wife knows better. But today, of course, we want to get the other side of the coin. And Alice, you're happily married.
I'm married.
So I've opened a can of worms already.
Yeah, I am. I am indeed happily married. Me and my husband have been together, married for 4.5 years.
So I think today we're just going to sort of run through, because you are a visually impaired individual as well as us, aren't you?
I am, yes. This would make for an awkward conversation if I wasn't.
Especially considering you've referenced two guide dogs at this point.
Oh, yeah, no, I just go around taking dogs from blind people because I like dogs. I'm like the Cruella de Vil of guide dogs.
Yeah, well, while you're on your travels, you can snap me a new one while you're at it. You said how long, like, you've been married, of course. When it comes to sort of initiating it all, how did the proposal go?
Our proposal story is pretty impressive, actually. My husband, as you will learn the more I talk, is he likes things to be done a certain way, and he is not backwards in coming forwards. So it was his 30th birthday, and he decided he wanted to go to America. And I was like, that's fine. His birthday's January, so I was quite happy to not be here where it's cold and be in Florida in January. So we did that. We were in Orlando, and on his actual birthday, I was like, what do you want to do? Like, what's the thing you want to do? And he said, actually, I'd really like to hit Miami. So we rented this fancy pants Mustang so that we could drive down the coast to Miami. On the way there, he was like, oh, I thought we could stop off at this national park. It's like a seal sanctuary. It overlooks the sea. It's beautiful, all of this. And I was like, it's cool. That sounds really nice. Thinking, you know, he wants to break the journey up while we're driving, all of this. We get there. we had booked what we thought was going to be sort of mini off-road vehicle things for riding around the park. It turned out to be those car that like the cars that you have when you're a toddler where you use the pedals.
Yeah,
so we had one of those, and we cycled around this national park for an hour and got sweaty as fuck. So after that, and then he was like, oh, they've got this really old lighthouse there. I booked us a tour, and I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, it'd be nice to go up the lighthouse and you know, see the view and stuff like that. And we'd been making jokes because my husband and I happened to be working in the same office at the time. And one of the girls in the office was like, oh, everybody who goes on holiday to America who works in this office gets engaged when they go to America. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I started then when he talked about this lighthouse, I was like, my husband's also a big fan of terrible TV. So he's watched a lot of How I Met Your Mother. And For those of you who haven't seen it, he proposes in a lighthouse at like the very end. And so I was making all these jokes throughout the whole holiday of going, oh, yeah, you can't come up with a more individual idea than proposing at the top of the light. You basically stole it from How I Met Your Mother, making all these jokes. We then had the tour, and the guy was like, okay, and this is the beautiful lighthouse. If you guys, you know, I'll let you guys just head up. And because we'd been cycling around this national park for an hour, and then we had 150 steps up a lighthouse. And so we got to the top of the lighthouse, and I'm just like, I can't breathe. And like, it's beautiful, but I'm just sweaty and complaining, and then feeling really awkward because I was like, I was only joking, like, you know, when I said about you proposing, like, don't feel like you have to do it, that's really not like a thing. And and he was like, oh, you know, okay, that's fine then. And then we sort of caught our breath, and I looked around and I was like, it's really beautiful up here, I'm glad we came up here. And then I just went, I love you. And I turned around, and he was on one knee, and he went, enough to spend the rest of your life with me.
Oh.
And
he wasn't on one knee out of sheer exhaustion then.
Possibly. and I was so surprised because I had convinced, I'd legitimately thought it was just a game, and I was like taking the piss out of him. I was so surprised that when I turned around and he asked me to marry him, at the top of my voice echoed across the beach, the quiet, beautiful sunset beach, I went, fuck off. Then just because he's holding this little ring in a box, and I'm like, well, I can't fucking see that. And so I just do grabby hands at the jewelry. And he's like, oh, I think I'm supposed to put it on your finger. And I'm like, no, I want to look at it first. I haven't said yes. yeah, that's our proposal story.
Is it my proposal story? We didn't cover it on the groom episode, but it was very much I proposed in the pub, and my wife was like, sure, why not? As like, this is such a contrast. There was no romance, and I know she'll listen to this, and I'm so sorry there's no romance, but no takes you back seats. It's been over 5 years married now, so yeah, maybe at the 10th year I'll do something special, so we'll see.
Did you do most of the planning for the wedding then?
No, I wasn't allowed. As I said, my husband likes things just so, and I had ideas, and I can remember spending quite a lot of time looking at invitations and things like that. And then I'd send him a load of pictures of things I'd found, like on Etsy, and I'd spend hours and hours looking at it. And he'd go, no, I don't like any of those, this one. And I was like, oh, okay, that one then.
What about the venue and things like that? Did he pick that as well?
We actually got married up in Nottinghamshire in a converted barn. We sort of knew what we wanted. We basically saw every venue that fit our kind of slightly rustic-y sort of idea that was possible to see within an hour's drive of our house. I think this place was like the second place that we saw, and every place afterwards we were just like, it's just not as nice. It's just not as nice. We wanted somewhere that had a lot of light, a lot of windows.
Is that because it makes things a little bit easier to see and get around?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I don't know. My wedding dress was quite heavy. I didn't do a lot of walking around on my own anyway.
Were you all right, like, to pick that and stuff? You could see everything and you got the details of it.
Mm. Yeah, I've got, I've got retinitis pigmentosa. I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. I always find it really hard when I talk to sighted people and they're like, oh, how much sight have you got then? Have you not got a lot? And I'm like, I think probably technically, if you looked at my numbers, no, I probably don't have a lot, but the sight I've got is in the middle and is still reasonable. So what I can see, I can see quite well. Like, I can recognize faces. I can read street signs if I'm close enough, stuff like that. So I'm the only person in my family. I think all the women I know who have it, it's very much that, like, no, there's no other family history of it. It's just a freak mutation. Oh. You know, happenstance. So
that's the worst shittest lottery, that is,
isn't it? Somebody asked me once before what I had, and I said RP, and they went, oh, that's a popular one.
It is, to be fair. Yeah.
When it came down to like picking your dress, like, you said that it was heavy. What was your future hubby there picking your dress for you? I assume you have a lot of, like,
no, actually, this was my dress. There was a couple of things. I think I should probably say off the bat, like, there were a few things that I knew that I wanted, and I just went, no, we're having this. And then whenever he made any other the big thing, he still we still sort of not argue but kind of argue about, is I knew what color scheme I wanted. I wanted bright, bold summer colors. We got married at the end of May. I think I'm very drawn to bright colors, probably because I can see them better. Like, dark colors, browns and greens and stuff, they always look the same. So we had bright, like, fuchsia pink and turquoise as our wedding colors. And I think I'm very drawn to those kind of colors, but also I wanted our wedding to be like a fun celebration, and I wanted that to be reflected in the colors. And so I said, I want these. And my husband was like, oh, what about instead of that kind of blue, what if we have like a darker kind of tealy green? And I cried. And I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to be a horrible manipulative bitch, but I was just like, but these are the colours I want at my wedding. And that was kind of the only thing I really made a fuss about. I knew what flowers I wanted. He didn't really care about the flowers. I knew I wanted balloons instead of like a big floral centerpiece, but otherwise the little detail stuff was very much him. So when it came to picking my dress, my initial intention, my mum made her wedding dress, and so I was gonna get her to make my wedding dress, but I had an idea of what I wanted. I quite like sort of vintagey art deco 1940s stuff, and I had some patterns, but I wanted to just try some dresses on just to be sure. And so I went to a proper wedding dress shop and tried on some big princess dresses and kept going, oh, well, I quite like this and I quite like this. And the woman who was there was brilliant. Shout out to the people at Francesca, I think it's called, in Leicester. And she just sort of, I tried on like these three slightly ridiculous, big, poofy dresses. And then she went, just hold on one second. And she went and fetched this dress. And she said, I think this is probably going to be more what you're looking for. And she explained while she was like searching for it that the way wedding dress shops work is that they get a sample of each dress that they have for each sort of season. And then if you want to try that dress on, you try that one on. They only have the one in the one size. And then they order you yours for your wedding day. And she happened to have this one dress from last season. And she was like, this has been tried on, but obviously it's never been worn on somebody's wedding day or anything. I think you should try this on. And I put it on and I came out, and my two best friends, my two best girlfriends are not... We're not really girly as a crew. We're not like, you know, I don't know. We wouldn't have dogs in our handbags. We would just not us. We're not like big on high heels and things, hair extensions and stuff like that. It's just not really our bag. And they both cried when they saw me in my wedding dress. And I went, oh my God, and put my hands to my mouth in a shocked fashion when I saw myself in that dress. And I was like, I think this might be my dress. Like, I had all these intentions, but I think this might be my dress. And then the woman said to me, because it was a sample from the previous season, it was reduced from £1,800 to £600. So I was like, yeah, I think this is my dress for like a third of its original price. Wow. And it was in my size. It was just, yeah.
Amazing. I'd love to have some clothes that fit. I sometimes look at my suit and think, huh, okay, those are nice memories.
My husband, he didn't want to buy a suit that he's like, I'm not going to want to wear my wedding suit to somebody else's wedding. So why would I pay to have a suit that I'm only going to wear once? And I was like, I mean, that's fine, especially because then he'd been to a friend's wedding previously and he had asked them to all buy their suits. And he was like, I'm not paying for a suit I'm never going to wear again. It was royal blue, which is not really my husband's thing. It was just a whole. So, yeah, we rented.
So for the wedding, of course, you would have had your hen do.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened then?
My hen do was a weekend in Nottingham because I wanted somewhere kind of close where to me and to... I had some girls coming from a couple of different places. So my brother's beautiful girlfriend, Jess, came down from Manchester. And I had another friend who I've known since I was 18 months old. She was in Leeds at the time. She came down as well. So we, again, I sort of went, I know what I want, but I let my BFFs, Jess and Rachel, kind of organize it. I said, I want to go to a cat cafe because animals. And then I wanted to go dancing. We went to Rock City in Nottingham. That balcony bit at Rock City, you can pay to have that like privately roped off. And so that's what the girls did. And so we had our own bar and it was just me and my hens just there. And we went dancing. And then the next day we went to a spa and got massages and facials. And yeah, that was nice. My hen.
How did you get about okay in Rock City? Me and T went there like Saturday and it's just a dark place. So
my girls are very good. And I think this is a thing that perhaps women with visual impairments have that's perhaps draws less attention. But my girlfriends will just hold my hand to guide me around. Before my husband and I started dating, he and his friends for a while thought me and my best friend were a couple because they'd only see us on nights out and we'd always be holding hands. So yeah, then for my hen, we had our own little hen sort of area and they got them to put some of the house lights on around there. So I had some lights around where I was sitting, and then we had our own private little dance floor. So I wasn't going to get stood on, but mostly for nights out, you know, I haven't really made any new friends since I was about 17. So my friends are all pretty good at guiding me by this point. Yeah. So they usually just grab my hand and off we go.
That's amazing. Yeah. Rock City is not the easiest to get around. It's a lot of steps and very dark.
Yeah. Being a girl, when you can't see, you can just kind of latch on to a sighted person.
It's weird that you use that word as well. Because like when I do it, my friends go, "Want a latch?" And I just put my hand on their shoulder or something.
Do you feel like awkward doing that? Do you feel as though it's you know, breaking some gender boundaries?
It's not as awkward as holding their hand,
I suppose.
I don't know. It's the least. It's what I've always done, I guess. I always find it's the least awkward thing in terms of getting around, and it sounds and not looking gay, basically.
I suppose
that's really a thing anymore, but do you know what I mean? Maybe I was when I was 17.
Yeah. I think that's what I always sort of wondered about it.
I will just say, I say to grab you.
Married now. You don't have to impress anyone.
That's kind of it, though, isn't it? It's like, I'm not here to pick up any chicks, especially when my wife is at the bar. Like, I'm not here to do that. So I'm kind of like, I'm just shameless. It's like, I can just grab you. Like, you don't have, you go to the toilet, take me with you. Yeah. You don't have to unzip me, but, you know, you can if you want to.
I guess I thought about more, like, say, when you're like 17, 18, or like at uni and going on nights out, I think I would have been very self-conscious, but it wasn't ever really an issue for me as a chick.
I'm self-conscious for about the first hour. Then after a few beers, it kind of goes out the window and you just do what you do to get around and just have a good time.
Yeah. I've never been a big, like, going out drinker. When I go out, I go out to dance. Me and my, particularly one of my friends, Jess, we will go out and we used to take enough money to put our coat away and that was it. Walk to and from, like, wherever we were going. And just dance and drink water.
Oh, I get you. Yeah, the whole, boys will buy us drinks. Yeah,
no, one of those girls.
Yeah, no. I hear you, Alice. So when it came down to, like, the venue and, like, choosing that, was that a consideration, like, for your mobility side of things, Alice?
Yeah, you mentioned, like, the lighting and things like that. Was there anything else that you had to consider?
It was more about kind of the aesthetic of the place that we wanted. We definitely wanted somewhere that was going to get a lot of daylight, and because that is easier for me. But to be honest, you know, I knew that I was going to have somebody by my side all day. So as long as they were there to guide me in terms of my kind of vision, the things that I need help with, it is generally more moving around. If I'm in a stationary position talking to somebody, looking at something, yeah, I've got enough to kind of manage with that. So it was a problem at night when we were looking at, like, because I wanted to be able to dance and, you know, get to the bar and stuff like that. We did sort of have a conversation about what options we had for trying to get things sort of as lit as possible in there, because, you know, it had these huge floor-to-ceiling windows, which were brilliant in the day, but in the evening, you know, when there's no sunshine, it makes no difference. And I don't know what it's like for you guys and your other listeners, but for me, like, having a pool of light, like, it's fine if I'm staying there, but for moving around, having uneven, like, you know, moving from, like, under one spotlight to another and stuff like that, it's just extra work for my eyes. So that was kind of the biggest issue, really, was, you know, I knew in the evening, unless they just had the lights on, and even then they weren't going to be, like, you know, your big daylight bulbs and stuff like that. It was just that it was going to just be that was just it was just not really going to be an element of my wedding that I sort of experienced the evening, a seeing in the evening. But for me, you know, I'd kind of decided that my evening
part of my hen was going to be dancing. And we didn't have a lot of extra people coming in the evening. I've got a huge family. So we had quite a lot of people in the day. And then in the evening, I think there was like a dozen extra people, and there were people my husband went to work with. So, you know, they didn't come there to talk to me anyway.
Did you have a band then, or a DJ, or both?
We had a DJ. My husband's surrogate brother is probably the best way to describe him. That was their gift to us, was he DJed. We had a dance floor that lit up from underneath. Ooh, nice. So wow. I could see that. And then we had, because the DJ was family, he got loads of lights in our wedding colours and, like, you know, extra lights to make sure that there was just as much light around the dance floor for me as possible.
See, I never had any of those considerations of the venue. It was just like, plop me by the bar, that's where I'll be.
Yeah. It's like, too busy getting my fucking photo taken to have anything to drink. I think I had two drinks my entire wedding day. I spent a lot of time in a cornfield outside, standing in soil and having my photo taken.
What was the weather like that day?
It was the hottest day of the year that far in the year, and we got married at the end of May, so it was beautiful and sunny and clear blue skies, and it was beautiful. And there's some really gorgeous photos of us standing in a cornfield looking at each other while the sun sets behind us. But I look at those photos and I know that I'm going, for fuck's sake, it's getting mud all over my fucking dress, and I just want inside my family. And literally my husband had to say to the photographer, I think someone's had enough.
I was pissing it down on my wedding. We did as many photos as we could before we were like, we're gonna get soaked, and we sort of moved on. But people kept forgetting that I was the groom, especially with the limo driver who would put everyone, we had a limo, and they put Cleves, who's one of my best men, as well as the bridesmaids and my bride in the limo, and I was sort of saying goodbye to people as you do, like, oh yeah, I'll see you at the venue, like, and then walking back to the limo, like, oh, you're getting in as well, are you? I'm like, oh, fucking groom, love. Like, of course I'm getting in. Who do you think I am?
That's brilliant.
Did you take your guide dog to the wedding, by the way?
No. I wanted to be relaxed on my wedding day and not have to worry about my dog eating everything. I knew I'd spend the whole day going, what is she doing? What is she pissing on? I just knew that, because this was back in 2017, it was just Lola. And she's just a bit of a terror. I knew she'd jump up at me and ruin my wedding dress. And people were like, oh, I can't believe you didn't bring her. And I was like, no, this isn't even a funny conversation. Like, if I want to relax, I'm not bringing a stinking Labrador with me. My friend tried to convince me to get like a little pen or something to have her in outside. And I was like, no, because I'll just be worried the whole time that she's escaped.
Yeah.
Because she does that. When we moved into our new house, forgot to shut the garden gate properly, I got a phone call randomly from guide dogs who were like, oh, we're just calling from guide. And I was like, oh, hi, what do you guys want? And they were like, we wondered if you knew where Lola was. And I was like, she's in the kitchen, isn't she? And they were like, no, we've had a call from one of your new neighbors. They found her in their driveway.
That happened here with my retired dog Wes very recently.
Yeah.
Where he just escaped away to knock on the door. And, do you have a Labrador? Wait, yes. I said, do you know where he is? I went, yes, he's definitely in the garden. And then he was not in the garden.
No.
And he had pissed off up the road. And yep. Like, it's like, oh, for God's sake.
People are always like, oh, they're so well behaved. They're so intelligent. It's like, nah. Labradors are well trained, like easily trainable. That does not make them intelligent.
Oh, no. Wes is thick as shit. He is such a moron. Like, he walks into doors all the time. Because he's an idiot. He's just...
My mum had a lab retriever when I was growing up who used to walk into doors in the hopes that they'd open. And like, sometimes if there was like a jar, it was fine. But sometimes you just walk into a closed door. However, we had a cat at the time when we got married. And so we did get somebody to make our cake toppers were our cat in a top hat and Lola in a veil.
Cool. Oh, that's awesome.
Did you have a sit-down meal that you went in, or like a buffet?
Yes, we had a wedding breakfast at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we had a buffet in the evening.
Was it a blinky-friendly menu? Because I know there's certain things I wouldn't order for like a sit-down meal, because I'd be like, I can't get this down my shirt. This has to be like proper, like friendly to my sight needs.
My biggest issue when it comes to food is losing things in my boobs.
I have the same issue, Alice.
And to be honest, I didn't really think about it when we ordered it. We went for a taster menu and I was just like, this is all delicious. I want all of it. And then it was so warm on our wedding day that I didn't want to eat soup or risotto. I think I had two mouthfuls of soup and I was just like, I'm too up. Yeah. Didn't eat or drink anything on my wedding day because I was hot and I was having my photo taken. I had no time for anything else. Not that I'm bitter about spending most of my wedding day having my photo taken or anything. Yeah. I suppose I knew I was going to be stationary. So if I was sitting down and it was well lit enough, and also I don't care if people see me eating soup with my fingers. So like, if you know, you're at my wedding in the day, you know me well enough to know that I can't see and I may well poke myself in the eye with my spoon, but it's my day, you have to be nice to me.
100%. So on the whole, like as far as like all the concessions you put like in place, like what, it doesn't sound like there were many really.
Yeah, I don't think I did really. I think because my husband did so much planning, he knew what the things were built in to kind of the planning process. You know, we partly picked the place we picked because it was well lit. And I mean, I didn't have to do anything. I gave a speech because I'm a bit of a feminazi and was like, I'm not having three men talk for me on my fucking wedding day. So I gave a speech and I had my iPad that I read from for that. And the signing of the register thing, we got them to like set us up the photo. And then my husband did the thing that he does when we actually like go to the bank and sign stuff, where he just puts the pen in the bottom left-hand corner for me and goes, there you go, it's in there. So yeah, that was, I think those were the little things really that we did. That's not the parts of my wedding day that I really remember when I look back on it. It's not kind of about the adjustments that I had to make. But I think that's quite reflective, really, of what we wanted for my wedding day. We wanted it to be about us and for it to feel natural for us. And so, you know, maybe the guests would think differently and go, oh, well, they did this, which is, you know, I've never seen somebody do before, but she's visually impaired, so I guess that's why they did it. I did have somebody say to me once, you know, that they thought the reason we picked such bright colors for our wedding was because I could see them better. And I sort of said, I mean, like I said, maybe that's why I was drawn to them, but also that kind of they fit thematically was what I wanted and the time of year that we got married. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I find it very hard to separate sometimes the parts of the decisions I make that are just because of that's who I am and that's my personality. And that's what happens when you, you know, and that's my personality because I've grown up with visual impairment.
But I think what we'll do is if I round off the episode here, we've heard the groom side, now the bride side. And of course, very thankful, grateful to Alice for coming on and giving her perspective on things.
Thanks, guys, for having me. So you can follow me on Twitter if you insist. I am Alice, then the number 3, then Evans. But I would encourage you more to follow my podcast. We are the Labelled Podcast, but we decided to be clever with the name. So it's actually Lab-Led, which is what you get if you you use a screen reader. That's what it tells you it's called. So that's Labled Podcast. We are Labelled Pod on all the social medias, and the show is on Spotify and Apple and Stitcher and all the podcasty places. Head over there and say hi.
Awesome. It's a great podcast. I encourage everyone to have a listen.
And then when you like it, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
And we're back. So thank you to Alice for coming on. I know she's very busy training her new guide dog, and wish her all the luck with that. But it's great to have her on.
Definitely.
I mean, one day you might be a lucky prize yourself, Cleves.
Good one.
I thought it was pretty tasteful.
I just want to go dress shopping.
Yeah, I know. You keep trying to drag me to it, but it's never happening, man.
I keep trying to get a nice dress suit, and you're like, no, no. I want an actual bride's gown. And I'm like, nah, what? Wait, come on. I mean, it's fine in this day and age, but do you really want to walk around town in one?
Well, not really. Not in this weather. Get a bit nippy. Shall we close it?
We probably should, yeah.
So thanks again to Alice. You can find her on Twitter at Labeled Podcast. Good show. Go and have a listen. Until then, next week.
Surprise.
Surprise, is it?
This is, yeah, we're a surprise.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Seesaw Podcast.
You can find us on Facebook at Seesaw Podcast, Twitter, Seesaw Pod. You can email us at seesawpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on TikTok and Instagram at Seesaw Podcast or Seesaw Pod, depending on which one we want. But get us on the other places. This podcast was recorded in front of a blind audience.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.